started a new series here last week, and this is part two of that series. The series is, how do we help people find and follow Jesus? Now, our vision here for our church is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. But what I've realized as time goes by, that often we don't know how to do this. So it's a nice saying, and it even is something we want to do, but if you don't know how, you don't do it. Is that true? Think about it for a minute. Maybe when you were young, you had a desire, you wanted to ride a bicycle. But it could be a great idea, you could want to, you could even have a bicycle in the yard, but if you don't know how to ride it, you're not going to ride it, are you? Somebody's going to have to show you. I mean, unless you were one of those people that, one of those kids that you'll try anything and you just figure it out yourself, but you crash quite a few times while you're figuring it out, usually. Well, I believe that for us to fulfill this vision or this mission, we need to know how. Because I found many of us don't. You see, it's super important that we follow God's command in His Word, and that is for us to help others find Him. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20 is our key verse. That is God's mission for every Christian. That is God's final command to His followers, and we are His followers. He said in verse 19, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So there is His commission to go out and have people find Him. That's understanding who He is, accepting Him, being baptized, and then following Him. That's understanding, what did He teach? What does He want us to do? The find and the follow. Everybody say find. Everybody say follow. Okay, two things. But maybe not as simple as it first sounds. So you see, for us to fulfill that great commission of helping others, we need to know how. And maybe you're thinking, well, I do know how. I don't want anybody to feel discouraged, but I want to just make this statement to make us think. So let me first ask the question, how many people have been saved for more than 10 years? You're a Christian for more than 10 years. Okay, there's quite a few. How many have been a Christian for more than 5 years? Well, I guess the tens will be up again too. Okay, tens, you don't have to put your hand up because you already did. Okay, how many have been a Christian for 2 years or more? That's cool. Okay, so 2, 1, who's been saved for 1 year or less? 1 year or less, you've accepted Christ. Awesome. I know there's a couple. So here's my question now. So we went some 10. I didn't go up there, but I know some could say 20. Some could even say 30. So my question, but again, not to make anybody feel discouraged, my question is this. How many people in the last year have you led to Christ or helped find Christ? Okay, you don't have to answer, just a question. How many in the last 2 years? Okay, for those that were 10 plus, how many in the past 10 years? You don't have to answer it out loud to me, but I do know that for most that have served Christ over 10 years, it will be less than 10. For a lot, it will be less than 5. Do you know that that's one person a year? Did you know if you were working for a sales company and you sold one truck a year, they'd fire you? Is that harsh? I'm just saying this to make you think. Because if that is our great commission that I just read, that is the thing He wants us to do. He didn't say in there, go out and have many church potlucks. Sorry for the people who like potlucks. I like eating too. But that wasn't the Great Commission. Go out and have golf tournaments. Those are fun. But that wasn't the Great Commission. Make sure and get together lots and sing amazing songs. Well, that's what we just did, but that isn't the Great Commission. I'm making you think a little bit here today. The Great Commission is going out and helping other people find him. Did you get that? So how are we doing? How are we doing personally? So anyways, I said all that. Don't get discouraged. I'm saying it because I think we need to learn how. Okay? It shouldn't be something that accidentally happens. It shouldn't be something that's so rare we hardly remember. It should be something that happens all the time. And I believe you and I, myself included, I've never done a series on this before. Many times when I bring a series to you, God's bringing it to me, for me, just as much as you. Okay? Now, obviously, as a pastor, I get to see more people come to Christ, but that's my role. But as an individual in the community, I'm exactly the same as you. And I also maybe need to know a little better how to fulfill that role. You see, we can't help others unless, and this is the specific of today's message. So last week specifically we said, you cannot help others find and follow him unless you're filled with love. Remember that? That's the foundation. This week, specifically, we're going to look at this. You cannot help others find and follow him if you don't know how to find and follow him yourself. What do I mean? Anybody here ever bought a vehicle from a salesman at a dealership? Probably all of us, if you buy, you know, you buy a vehicle. When you go there, the salesman needs to know the vehicle you're buying, right? And the salesman most likely will be driving a Ford if he's at a Ford dealership. Is that correct? If I go to Ford to buy a Ford and the salesman drives a Chevy, I'm not buying a truck from him because he's just there to make money. He doesn't even believe in his product. Now, but maybe that salesman just hides his Chevy behind the shop. But yet when he's talking to me about the Ford, I'm going to know he's not real, aren't I? Of course, I'm not really talking about trucks. I'm talking about you and I and our relationship with Christ. Is it real? Do we really know what it is, and do we really believe it? Or are we maybe a little embarrassed of it? Or are we doubting it ourselves? Because if that's the case, you and I must know and believe that we have found him and that we follow him. Maybe you said a prayer once, but you don't follow him. Are you going to be able to help anybody else find and follow him? You won't. Think about it for a minute. Let's just throw out a crazy example. I'm not talking about anybody, but this is just a crazy example. I got to sometimes say that because people after think I was just out there winging it. Crazy example. Let's say I come to church, I come to Abundant Life Worship Center, I hear a message about salvation, it's amazing, and I ask Christ to come into my heart. I've found him. I've asked him to forgive me. It's awesome. I've found him. But then nobody tells me about following him or what pleases him or how should I follow him. So I leave and I go back to everything I always did. I go to the bar. I meet up with people I shouldn't meet up with. And I'm at the bar and I'm telling people, yeah, I found Jesus while I'm drinking. And then I get a little drunk and I get mad and I have a fight with somebody. I told you, I'm making this up as I go. They're looking at me, you did that? No, this is just made up. Okay, and then next week, I go back to the same place and I tell people, yeah, I found Jesus. How many of them are going to want to find Jesus like I did? Zero. Because obviously in that type of situation, it would mean that I really didn't know what I had prayed or found. And nobody had explained to me that there's a follow. So, do you and I know how to find and follow Jesus ourselves? Because you need to know if you're going to share it with somebody else. You also need to believe it. If you're having doubts about what you have, you better get in here and straighten out those doubts. There's nothing wrong with having questions. Did you know that? But there are answers. Having a question but not having the passion enough to go search out the answer is called being a lazy Christian. I want to encourage you, if you have questions, you search out the answers yourself. There's no excuse today to not be able to find answers. If you got one of these Bibles, if you've got the Bible version app on your phone, you can search it out and you can find the answers. You see, a true salesman studies his product, uses it all the time, and believes it's worth selling to you. When you meet that kind of salesman, you buy. Because it's real. Finding Jesus is what we call salvation or accepting Christ. You see, finding Jesus is turning from sin and receiving forgiveness and wholeness. As we were worshiping there, I mentioned to you that salvation actually means to be made completely whole. So it's your sins forgiven and being made completely whole. So let me just give you the basic understanding of salvation to refresh your memory, okay? Because maybe for some we've been saved for a while, maybe for others it's new. So let me give you clear basics. What is salvation? If someone was to ask you, you could help them, okay? So here we go. I'm going to just give you 5 quick points. This is salvation. All right, here's the basic idea of it that you could help somebody else. Number one, this whole salvation thing happens because number one, sin entered the world and sin separates from God and brings eternal death. Romans 5 and verse 12 is clear on that. It says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So here's the basic problem. Sin entered the world. Number two, all people are sinners. So these are the basics of the salvation message. Number two, all people are sinners. Romans 3, verse 10. I'm going to go really quick through this because I'm just giving you some basics. If somebody wants my notes after, I could print some more out as well. I didn't, but if you're not able to take notes, I can do that. So all people are sinners, Romans 3, verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. And Romans 3, 23. For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Okay, so we have a problem. Sin has entered the world. Problem number two, none of us are good enough on our own. Okay, there you have it. One, two. Number three, we cannot save ourselves from sin and its consequences. This is important. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. Galatians 2, 16. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God just by obeying the law. So here's the problem. Sin came into the whole world. We're all sinners, and we can't be good enough on our own. That's what that's saying. So if I just came up here and preached, be good enough, be good enough, be good enough, you would all fail, quit, and think this is the stupidest thing ever. But I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching Jesus Christ. Because you see, we can't do it, but there is an answer. And we know from Scripture that Christ paid the price for all sin on the cross. Romans 5, 8 and 9. It says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. And John chapter 3, 14 and 15. I told you I'm going pretty quick. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. So Christ on the cross paid the price for that sin. Okay? Sin entered the world. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves, but Christ paid the price for us. Christ is the only one who can save from sin and its consequences. I'm giving you Bible. The Bible clearly says Christ is the only one. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Anybody taking notes right now is... But it's up there too, so you can follow. Acts 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Now, there's a statement in culture, well, there's many ways to God, you just find your own. That's not true according to the Bible. There's one way, and his name is Jesus. And you're like, well, that's so narrow. Well, the God who created it all can choose how he wants to bring salvation. It's not up to us to choose. Okay, that's just the way it is. I know we're not also in a culture where people want to hear that that's the way it is. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Christ is the only one who can save us from sin and its consequences. And finally, to be saved from sin, we simply need to accept the gift of salvation that Christ paid for. So here is how salvation comes. It's extremely simple. So simple that many people miss it. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Everybody say gift. Salvation that Christ paid for is a gift. And there is a gift with every person's name on it, but there's one thing they must do. They must receive it. You see, because if I have a gift for you, and I say, this is your gift, I'm putting it right here, it has your name on it. You can be like, that's awesome, I'm so glad. But if you walk out and don't come get it, it does you no good. Is that correct? So we can tell people about Christ and his great salvation, but if they don't take the opportunity to receive him, they're only seeing it from a distance and it will do them no good. So how do we receive him? Romans 10, 9 and 10 is the verse that I love to use because it's so simple. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. How do you receive the gift? Remember the Roman jailer asking Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus, you and all your household. And then they made a public declaration that they believed by getting water baptized. You're like, it's that easy? It's that easy. If you've heard the message and you believe it, then you use your mouth and you say it. You see, often we will repeat a prayer at the church, and we'll likely do that again tonight in case anybody needs to say that prayer. And we're simply using words to say, we believe Jesus, you paid it, and we want it. That's how you receive the salvation. Now that's the find. But I want to finish up tonight by also looking briefly at the follow. Because you see, we must find and follow. It's not enough to simply find, as Jesus told us in the Great Commission. Make disciples, teach them all things I've taught you. There's nothing more discouraging for a pastor than to see someone accept Christ and then have them disappear back into ugly world or back into their addiction or their sin. It's a horrible feeling. And can I say that it's because we need to sometimes get better at helping people with the follow. I think too many times maybe as Christians we look at it as, once they say that prayer, we did our job. Woohoo, we caught the fish. Whoa, you're missing the point. That's not making disciples. Having someone come to Christ is not like catching a fish. It's also not like being a salesman, even though I used that example to make a point at the beginning. But it's because you have a deep love in your heart for people that don't yet know him. And if you truly have a deep love, you're not going to simply want them to say a prayer and then drop them. You're going to want to be in relationship with them as they grow. That's what it means to make a disciple. You see, Jesus' disciples lived with him, walked with him, talked with him, ate with him, but they spent time with him in relationship as brothers, close brothers and sisters for the ladies that were there, didn't they? So maybe the follow part sometimes doesn't work because we forget to do our part. Can I encourage you, if you invite a friend who doesn't know Christ to church and they accept him, you have just got yourself a disciple. Somebody that you need to care about and talk with and encourage. I know you were thinking, well, that's the pastor's job. No. No, you guys cannot come home and live with me. It's not the pastor's job. Yes, the pastor comes weekly and we give a message that should help you grow and encourage you. But you know what? It's impossible for me to have a close relationship with every one of you. That's not possible. There's close to 500 with kids that would say this is their home church. Not everybody comes every week. Some of you guys do. You're awesome. But that would be impossible for me to have a close relationship with each of you. So I have a close relationship with the pastors, elders, some of the board members, and then it spreads out from there. But yes, I get to minister to anybody. Somebody calls on the phone, I get to pray with them. There's times I get to go for dinner with people. But you, if you're truly having a heart of Christ for your friends, you need to be willing to do more than simply ask them to come here. You need to care about them. You need to build them. You need to be in a relationship with them. Okay, that wasn't on the notes, but somebody need to hear that. Because God wants to see disciples. God wants to see people follow him completely. So here are the three basic principles of following spoken by Christ. There could be a bunch. I'm just giving you three because I just knew when I made this, I would only have so much time. But these are the three basic follow principles, all right? Number one of the follow principle is turn from sin. Okay, so you come to Christ, you say the prayer, you've asked him to forgive you. The first step of following is leaving behind the sin. When he called his disciples to follow him, they left behind whatever they were involved in to follow. When you choose to follow him, you have to leave behind the past. And you must leave behind the sin. Let me read you a verse. Matthew 4, 17. From then on, this is Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. He just finished being tempted in the wilderness. And if you remember that story, the devil came, tried to trick him and tempt him. He finishes that, and then he goes out and begins to preach. And it says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent means if you're going this way, you turn 180 and go this way. That's simply what repent means. It means a complete turn or change from what you were doing. And he's talking specifically about sin, isn't he? Repent from sin. So if you've been living in sin and you come to Christ, thank you, Christ, you forgave me. You took the price of it all on me. Now I accept you. I found you. Now I want to follow you. The first thing you do to follow him is urge. Okay, Lord, I'm new to this. Is there something in my life you would call sin? You know, sometimes when people come, they don't know what would be called sin to Christ. And I would tell you, honestly, just pray and ask him. If you're waiting for the pastor to have the perfect message about it, don't. Just ask him. Is what I'm doing right now pleasing to you or is it sin? The Holy Spirit will let you know right away. Often we know anyways, but ask. And so if he says, hey, I don't want you gambling. That's a sin for you. Okay, no problem. I can handle it. Maybe you've accepted him now, you want to follow him, but you want to turn from things that don't please him, and you're just going along, and he just tells you, hey, I got to be careful what I say, because I know some of your stories, I'm like, I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them. But sometimes the Lord brings certain things. Hey, you've been really angry at your spouse to the point of controlling them. To me, that's sin. You didn't think I was going to say that, did you? Urge. Okay. Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to be nice to my spouse. I'm going to find ways to bless them. You get what I'm saying, right? Just be honest with yourself. And maybe you're like, but oh, I messed up. Ask him to forgive you again and ask him to give you the strength and the know-how to do it the way that pleases him. So the turn from sin is the first step of following. And you go ahead and ask him. I'm definitely not going to want to speak something that makes you feel terrible. That's never the point. God's always trying to take you further. Okay? All right. Matthew 11, 20 to 24. Jesus, it says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. In other words, he'd gone to these towns, and when Jesus was on the earth, he did many miracles. People that were dead were raised to life. Lepers were healed. All kinds of miracles in their cities, and they were in awe. Oh, that's amazing, Jesus. Woo! I think I have a sick friend. I'm going to bring him. Woo, this is good. But they didn't turn from their sin to follow. So they had to find. They all knew who he was. Some of them even experienced his healing power. But they didn't repent or turn from their sin. And now he's giving them a serious message. And he says, what sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago. clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their head to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be better off on judgment day than you. Ouch. And you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No. You will go down to the place of the dead. For if the miracles I did for you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on judgment day than you. You can definitely say ouch on that verse. What is he saying? Hey, I don't just want you to experience the miracle. Woo! I want you to turn from the sin that's destroying you. Turn from the sin that will take you to a place called hell if you refuse to turn. That's what he said. I'm just interpreting. You see, Jesus loved people, but true love is never void of the truth. Do you hear me? True love is not some phony, fake thing that just pats you on the back and says, keep going, I don't care if it kills you. True love is not void of truth. And sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. Find him, experience him, get the miracles, get the forgiveness, then follow. Step one, turn from the things you know don't please him. If you're not sure, ask him. There's things in his word you can find and know, but you can also just ask. He'll let you know, okay? And then do what you need to do to make it right. I remember, this is coming to my heart, so I'm going to share it. I remember years ago, and always when I share stories like this, it's long, long ago, far, far away. Okay, I'm not talking about anybody here. And I'm actually not, okay? I'm not. But I remember being in ministry, and there was a young couple there who were in ministry. And it was probably a year gone by, and young couple just right involved in ministry, but they weren't married. They were simply living together, sleeping together. And I remember thinking, well, how come nobody's bringing it up? Like, how come the pastor didn't bring it up? How come nobody's bringing it up? And I do want to say this as I tell the story. I was young in ministry and, you know, not very smooth. But anyways, I'm probably not now either, come to think of it. But anyhow, I thought to myself, I know what I'm going to do, because I had opportunity to preach to a group. And I knew that the couple would be at the group. So I decided I was going to preach on a topic called Why Not Get Married? So why not get married? And I gave all the scriptures about marriage. And there's a lot about, you know, God saying how it should work. I gave all the scriptures. Well, I was about partway through, and a different lady who was there got up, and I could tell she was really like mad at me. And I thought, oh, what did I do? And I said, oh, I actually asked her, because it was, you know, not a large group. I said, is everything okay? What's wrong? And she goes, no, everything's not okay. There's something wrong. I said, okay, well what? She said, the title of your message is wrong. It should not be, why not get married? It should be, get married! And she stomped right out of there. Now, interestingly, 2 months later, I thought she was married. I didn't know. I wasn't talking about her. But anyways, 2 months later, she did get married to the man she had kids with and had lived with for many years. I wasn't even picking on her, but she thought I was. And the other couple also, their situation was very complicated, I'll just say it like that. But they talked to the pastor, and actually they talked to the pastor probably because they were mad at me. And again, I think I was probably rough. I was rough. Which doesn't help people, right? I was young. But they did go talk to the pastor, and they began to work through their very complicated situation, which involved lots of other situations. You probably know what I'm talking about. But they took the steps and they went forward. And that young couple is in ministry today, pastoring and changing lives. But it would have never happened if they hadn't chosen to take the first step of following, which is turn and make things right the best way you can. Okay? Some of those processes take a long time, but you start on the process. All right? Okay, Lord, you brought that to me. I just shared it. Here's the better part of following. So following number one, you're working on things, you're turning from those things that don't please Him. Step number two of following, love others. Okay? And even as I shared, I was a little bit hard. My love part maybe wasn't quite as following as it should have been. Because you can tell people the truth, and if you love them, they know it. Did you know that? You can tell a hard truth to people, and if they know you love them, they're okay. But I don't think I was showing a lot of love. So number two, I wasn't doing so well back in the day. I'm praying, Lord, I'm doing a little better, because I do love people. So turn, love people. Ask God to fill you, like we mentioned last week, with more of His love so that you can love people. Love everybody you come in contact with. Let me just give you one verse on that, and then I'm going to finish. So John 15, 10 to 12. John 15, 10 to 12. Jesus said, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way I have loved you." And the final point, and I'm going to be closing. So the follow is turn from what you know doesn't please him, love others, and finally, make disciples. Bring other people to him. And we read that verse at the beginning of the message. I don't need to read it again. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, where he told us to go and make disciples. You see, we can only help others find and follow Jesus if we have found Jesus and are following him ourselves. I began by mentioning about the vehicle salesman, the guy driving a Chevy and selling a Ford. I need to make sure you understand that we aren't selling anything. I was making some points to help you know you should know what you have if you're going to give it. But we are most definitely not selling anything. We aren't salesmen. First of all, the gospel is free. There's no quotas to fill. And it will not affect whether or not you can pay your bills at the end of the month. You see, sometimes salesmen are pushy and annoying for those reasons. You and I should never be pushy and annoying. When we know and we believe and live in what Jesus has freely given us, we can and will passionately give it to others. Not because we have to, but because love compels us to. If I can get this to become real to you, you will reach people because love burns in you to do it. That's very different than being a salesman who's forced to, or whose bills force them to, or whose quota numbers force them to. If that, in fact, is how you think you'll reach people, you won't. You must actually care about them. You must love them. And when love compels you, they know it. All right. I need to ask today, if there's anybody here who has never accepted Christ, you've never prayed that prayer and asked Christ to come in your heart and forgive you. If there's anybody here who's not done that, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. So I'm going to ask you guys to encourage you to join with me in case there's someone here who today who maybe you've walked away from God and you know I need to come back. This is the prayer that finds once again. And then the follow will begin. So just repeat this after me to encourage. Maybe there's one here tonight. Say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I ask you now, forgive me of all my mistakes, of all my sin. I receive you, and I will follow you. Amen. Amen. So if you prayed that tonight, maybe you were just wanting to give yourself back to Christ. If you did that, please come talk with me after. We want to bless you and we want to help you with the follow. We don't want to be those ones who drop you simply after you pray. All right, we're going to end tonight. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me and I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And what I'm going to do is this. Because of the three follow steps, because we just did the find when we said that prayer, and I know for most of you, you are Christians. Maybe all of you, but I want to make sure. For the follow, I want to just pray over you. And what I'm going to pray over you, I'm going to tell you ahead of time so you're not surprised. I am going to pray the three things. First of all, that God just makes real to you where he wants you to turn, okay? So not me coming up to you and slapping you or something like that. I'm just going to ask Holy Spirit, let you know. And then when you know, maybe you're not sure what you should do. If you want to call the pastor or talk to the pastor, go ahead. But Holy Spirit is going to let you know because that's what we're going to pray tonight, okay? And don't worry, this is not a bad thing. This is an amazing thing. It's the way it should be. It should be you feeling and Christ directing, okay? All right, so that's what we're going to pray first. Then I'm going to pray that God, again, we're going to pray for a filling of love. And finally, for a passion for those that don't know him. All right, here we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for each one that's come here tonight. Lord, and I just pray this, that by your Holy Spirit, you would reveal to each of us if there's anything in our life you want us to turn from. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, make it real. And Lord, then give us the strength to turn. Lord, if it's an addiction, we say, Lord, make it real and give us the strength to turn. I thank you right now, Lord, you just do it by your Holy Spirit. Each person knows. And Lord, as they go from here for this week, they're going to use words to you in their private prayer and say, this thing that came to my mind, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm turning from it. And they're going to start to take those steps. I thank you. That is real. Lord, I pray also over this body of believers that your love would so fill them as we prayed even last week, your Holy Spirit love pouring into them like never before, pouring into them, overflowing out of them. We just declare it in Jesus' name. And finally tonight, Lord, I ask that you would put a passion upon each and every one of us for those that don't know you yet. Lord, let it burn. I just call that right now. Let it burn. Lord, let not one of us be lazy. That idea of slumber or it's all about me, we just cancel that right now. Lord, let us burn brightly for you with a passion for those who don't yet know you. Lord, I pray that, and we seal it in your name. Everybody said, amen. Give God praise in the house.